There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
The government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Jeroo's radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Lies and slander.
Are you a little mad, Louis, because I made fun of you before the show?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Lou, but here, let me move my microphone. I gotta move a little closer so I don't have to lean so far into the mic. I'm sorry, Lou. I can't not reach out and make fun of you. It's just too much fun. Let me get my headphones on completely here so I feel like a real radio DJ. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I have my glasses on so I can see that it is June 14th, 2010. It is approximately 5.03 p.m. Pacific time. We're about 9 seconds away from that exact time if you want to set your watches to it. We're coming to you live from the Sequoia National Park. Well, I can see it from here. I could probably shoot it from here. I think if I pulled the trigger on a rifle here, the bullet would land in Sequoia National Park. I suppose that's a felony. We are right outside the gates of Sequoia National Park in Central California. This is not Southern California. Here's my phone. Every time I go on the air, somebody starts doing something. I think it's a conspiracy. We are in Central California. This is not Southern California. Not to defame our Southern California listeners. It's just not the same kind of California. There are three distinct, actually probably more than that, but at least three distinct Californias, and we happen to be in Central California, which is farm country. It is mountains. It is rolling hills. It is, well, it's a little bit of everything topography-wise, but it is definitely not predominantly here inner city. It doesn't have the same problems as cities, suburbs, all that kind of thing, although Fresno is a festering cesspool. I don't know if California has a rectum, but I'm pretty sure that Fresno's somewhere near it.
Well, Fresno's not L.A., so...
Yeah, at least it's not L.A., but it's like a microcosm of it. It's got the same problems.
It's the stepchild
of it. Yeah, it's like the redheaded stepchild of Los Angeles. I mean, just the killings, the mayhem, the shooting, the raping. Oy, it's getting terrible up here.
That's New York.
But, well, that's what it's like here. It's just insane. We went swimming today. This is kind of a Monday morning after the weekend kind of monologue that I'm going to do. We went swimming today at the lake. The river is just ripping. It's like Category 4 rapid, so I didn't want to throw the kids in. They wouldn't let me tie a rope around their waist and heave them off the bridge, so I said, well, then we're not swimming in the river today, children. We're going to go to the reservoir. It's not really a lake. It's Kauia Lake, Kauia Reservoir, made in the 50s. And now they want to tear the dam down to protect some fish or something. But the water was very deep, very high because of the unusual amount of snow and rain we got this year. So all the parking lots are flooded. The outhouses are even underwater. So we had to park on the road and then walk in. And because there's all this brand new asphalt underneath the water, it was like going into a hot tub. It was like really warm, really nice and warm and... And it was really weird, and there were all these people there, and I did a head count, and there were only, besides my kids and I, there were only 7 other English-speaking people, and the remaining 75 people were speaking no English.
Okay, Mr.
Not that that means that they're illegals, but it was just kind of weird. There were no German or anything there either. It was really strange that there were no tourists there. I guess they stay up in the park, but it's just been unseasonably warm. Right now we're in the between 95 and 100, and I know those of you that are in Southern California going, ah, don't be a baby, but we got humidity here. Oh, the humidity is so bad. We got rivers and lakes and reservoirs and irrigation, and it's just terrible. Oy. How's it looking? Is it in the green, Lou? I'm not banging the VU meters to where I'm distorted.
No.
Okay. You are up. If you want to move your mic closer, I don't want to turn it up too much. It'll feed back, but you are on the air, Luke. But so that's what we did. We spent the weekend relaxing. I'm doing this new thing. I don't know if you people are going to think this is wussy of me, but I give up computers for the weekend. I don't even touch a computer. I don't read my email. I don't do anything with a computer from after the show on Friday night till probably
computer fast.
Till Monday. Yeah, it's a computer fast. That's what it is. And I'm not doing it, you know, because I'm bragging about it. That doesn't make it officially for the Lord, but it's just I'm finding that I'm spending way too much time on the computer. It's engrossing. It's sucking me in. I've got to do some other stuff around here. I got to start working on the antenna masts. I got to get all the antennas up. We got all these really cool radios, but no antennas. I got like one antenna for all of them. And I got to swap it around. So we're going to start building antennas up here. I know Rocky Hill was talking about volunteering. We may be doing that. I may be calling for volunteers because it takes more than one person to put up an antenna mast. We got to run the guy wires and some of these. The higher, the better. We also need a CB base antenna. Anybody can recommend any brand or quality of type one, or has one sitting on a closet, that they never put back together. Even mobile antennas are fine. We just want to get some stuff up. We got 3 or 4 CBs we want to get up. We want to get our scanners working. We want to get our 2 meter, our 440, our shortwave up. It'd be really neat if we could be doing this on shortwave 2 hours a day, wouldn't it? Of course, it would be pirate because I don't have $1 million to get a shortwave license, and I don't have the money to buy WWCR Worldwide Christian Radio. I can't buy the time; it's just too expensive.
And Salem Christian Radio.
Yeah, and Salem Christian Radio, and I'm trying to get on satellite. We've got listeners that we lost because we're not on satellite. So, really sorry that we can't do that. We just don't have the funding. I mean, we're up to $25 in donations. We sold one water purifier, and I got a request from our friend in Oklahoma. He looks like he's going to buy 2. We're building HARP up here. We're gonna turn on all our radios, turn on the antennas, and influence the weather. We're gonna flush the toilet here, and you'll get a hurricane in Guam. No, we want to know what's going on. We want to hear what's going on out there, and we need to be doing it this Saturday. Those of you that are listening. I haven't got the list of names of people that are coming to the training yet, but I know that 3 of them are in the room right now, in the chat room. We will be starting at 12. We may start earlier than that, but we understand people coming up from the Valley and everything. We have somebody coming up from Southern California for this, making a special trip. So those of you, we'll try to make it here by noon. We will meet in the covered area. When I say covered, I mean trees, in what we call the playground. We'll meet in the playground. It'll be cooler grass. We'll set up our tents there. Depending on the weather, I mean, if it's just a scorcher, we can move out there.
I don't like all the authorization I have to go through to get to the playground.
Well, there is security, Lewis, and you need to go through the security. We gave you that forehead tattoo for a reason. You need to use it.
So I can go to the playground.
Yeah, the playground. And we'll be doing stuff in the obstacle course. Nothing. This is going to be real easy training for the first one. We're not going to... what's the word I'm looking for? We're not gonna get it. It's not gonna be like our team tactics class, those of you that have been in it. But we're gonna take some of the skills that we learned from that, some of the team building skills, fire building skills we're gonna teach, packing skills. We're gonna do a real show and tell, and then we're gonna be doing, hopefully if we get like 8 or 9 people that wanna participate, we'll have some competitions. We'll do that. How many acres do you have? Well, we got 24 acres total. Up here, and that's not a secret. You can Google it and you can look at us. When we had our site assessment, the guy was like, man, you got a lot of open space. You can do a lot with that. We're like, yeah. Unfortunately, today I met with somebody in somebody was asking me a question about mining claims earlier. This is the guy that I talked to who actually lives next to a mine up at the end of the road, and we want to see if we can get that claim. But we have a rancher that I had an opportunity to talk to today. He's been around here forever, and he said that our grazing fields are terrible. Somebody had sheep in there. That the sheep were, just destroyed the field. We have to let them recuperate before we can put anything in there. Because that kind of blows my plans. I was going to buy a couple head of cattle and throw them out there. He says, no, you'll end up buying them all kinds of grain and hay, and they will still destroy it. So we've got one of the guys is out there right now disking everything, turning it around, and we're going to throw some seeds in there and grow some grasses and things out there and let them go. So hopefully we have some more time. But those of you that have stuck with the show, and you know I was talking about using that area over there, 10 acres for grazing, he says it's poor quality. It's not really good. Actually, Rocky Hill's asking me a question if some gear that he brought up, it fit Lou and Stacy very well. So Stacy's probably, Lou's already got a camouflaged one. So that one that you dropped off, that M65 jacket, is going to be Stacy's. So that's perfect. She was all excited. So thank you for that. Thank you for the other donations that you left out there. It was kind of funny. I come around the door and I see, this is what I see. I've been away for like 2 or 3 days on, you know, business. And I come back in my front door, there's 2 propane bottles, boxes of stuff, and a giant sword that looks like the U.S. Capitol the White House with the Washington Monument. I'm thinking, somebody's trying to send me a message. And I started looking for wires connected to the propane bottles, and I remembered, yeah, Rocky was bringing up some stuff. So, yeah, that was surprising. People bring me gifts, they leave them at the front door, and sometimes I just walk up to them and shake them to see if they're going to explode. Actually, I make Lou do that. In all honesty, I goes, Lou, go over there, kick that. And then the rest of us huddle in the pool behind the dirt berm and wait to see if we hear anything or see anything go flying by. It's like when we open doors, I go, Lou, you go first. He goes, why? There might be a monster in there. What if there's a grizzly bear that got into the house and it's mad? You go in first. Yeah, so we do that. So we're doing okay. The weekend was fine. Without going into great detail, I ended up on a U.S. Naval Air Station, kind of against my will, but in order to procure visitation with my child, who's in the other room watching something on the video. I had to go onto a U.S. naval base, and it was kind of, it brought back sad memories going through. They have Marines on the gate now with this really weird urban camouflage, I think it is, like light blue, gray, and black. It was freaky. At first I thought it was a UN guy as we approached, but, you know, when you heard his accent, you could tell he was a jarhead. And then I had to go in and, you know, with the person I was with and do some vehicle swapping and child swapping and all that kind of stuff. And then on the way out, I was driving by myself with my kid. I'm like, please don't let me accidentally do something stupid here. Don't let me swerve and hit the gate, you know, or run up on the curb or something. Because I was like, I'm on federal property right now. This is about as bad as it gets for a guy like me. So we got out of there, and I was real excited to get off that post and make the long drive home. But that was an unusual weekend thing for me. Those of you that were curious, I spoke last week about chemtrails to some amount, maybe 2 weeks ago. There was a YF-22 that was circling over this region, Fresno, Visalia, Sequoia National Park, going around, and with huge, exhaust that was hanging in the air like a giant corkscrew as it gained altitude, and then it would drift over us. Well, this person that I have contact with in the Navy, who is a Top Gun instructor for the U.S. Navy. I mean, he's a commander in the Navy. Actually, correction, he's a civilian now, but he carries the rank of a commander because that's what he was when he was in, before he retired. And I asked him about that. He says, well, the only YF-22 in this area is out of Edwards, and normal fuel, given that type of time of day and everything, should have dissipated. I said, so why would they be making corkscrews over major populations? He goes, I have no idea. So he's going to look into it for me. They did dispatch an F-16 for the National Guard base to go up there, or whatever it was, but it wasn't a YF-22. But that is a little bit of update on that. We've received reports this week. I promised PennDOT, is he in there? I don't know if he's in there. I may be a guest. That I was going to talk about what was really going on with the Gulf oil spill down there and these really weird unconstitutional things that they've been doing, you know, imprisoning people for, you know, arresting people for trying to take pictures and that kind of stuff. And the only source I found for it is one interview with this guy Fox on Steve Quayle's website. Steve Quayle, those of you, he's the Giants and Nephilim and Anunnaki guy and all that. Basically everything in the latest Indiana Jones movie he talks about. And I'm not big into that. I'm not into aliens. I don't think that Obongo is a lizard person. I think he's a vile human being. I don't think he's a... I know he's an alien, but he's an illegal alien from Africa, not outer space. So I'm not really going to talk about that kind of stuff because I can't confirm any of this. Even Mark Kornke, if you listen, he was like, we need pictures. People were calling up and telling him, oh, they're moving in giant Russian tanks. They're doing all this. Where are the pictures? So I'm not going to talk about that today like I had promised because I can't get confirmation. I've already been burned 2 times in the last 6 months by talking about a story and there just wasn't any confirmation to it. But I have no doubt that it's happening. Don't get me wrong. I'm not discrediting PennDOT. I'm not even discrediting this reporter guy, Jaime Fox or whatever his name was, because it's not. I believe it. I mean, you wouldn't have to convince me very hard that they are doing these things. That it was, you know, premeditated homicide to blow up that oil derrick because they got into something they didn't want anybody to know about, and that anybody that goes down there sniffing around is going to get thumped on the head. It's highly likely, but I just can't find any facts on it. And I've sent out the request before, and I'll do it again. Any of you that listen to this show in Louisiana, or later when we get on Liberty Tree Radio, I'll ask it again, please send me pictures of the troops. Right now, the only pictures I can find, and of course, that's for, you know, mass media consumption, troops going along cleaning everything, troops helping out with support. I have no pictures that I can find of any troops standing guard with their M16s with a magazine in the well stopping people. I just don't see it. I want to report about it if it's true. I want to bring it to you if we have another Katrina incident level of debauchery by the military and Homeland Security. But I can't do it without some kind of corroborating support. You know, one shortwave radio show on the internet that I find dubious and some, you know, at least 50% of the stuff they talk about, I can't take that. If you want to hear it, go to that website that I posted. It's what was it? I forgot the name of the place already. SteveQuayle.com or something like that. Yeah, can you put some cold water in that for me? I need cold water. This is like lukewarm water, and it's every time I take a drink, it makes me want to run to the bathroom. It's like putting my hand in. It's like the party trick where you put your hand in the bottle and your finger in the bottle of warm water. Watch your headphones. But so we're not going to talk about that today unless I get some more information. And I spent a good couple of hours today looking for it, and I just couldn't find it. In fact, if PennDOT gets in here, I may ask him just to call up and tell me what he knows, and then, you know, we'll see what it is. But I hope you guys understand what I'm saying and appreciate that. I just don't want to go off on some tangent without knowing what it is. I got another thing. I got emails because I'm checking them today. Somebody emailed me Saturday morning and said, E. Lee Ermey, I always pronounce it wrong, you know, the drill instructor from Full Metal Jacket, on the History Channel, he had the show called Mail Call. I got a bunch of, I got two or three emails that said he was dead, but I can't find any press releases on it. So that he died in complications from pneumonia. So if anybody knows about E. Lee Ermey, one of my favorite gyrenes, honorary gunny sergeant. He was just, I think he was an E6. They made him a gunny sergeant because he just promoted the Corps so well. It'd be really nice if you could, what's the word I'm looking for? Confirm that for me. So somebody asked me once, well, how big is your staff? I said, I don't know. It depends how many listeners I have that day. We're all part of the same plan here. You're all official Dutch Jones reporters and field personnel. Thank you, Lewis. Get some cold water here. Excuse me. Two Sons of Liberty has posted a YouTube link in there in the chat room. I encourage you to take a look at it, see what it is. This is at the core of the oil rig disaster. I've seen so many different theories and heard different things. All I can tell you is that when I get it down to it is that Rahm Emanuel said, we will not let any disaster go unexploited, basically. We don't let it go to waste. So that's it. It's a terrible situation when we know the default setting for our government is don't trust them. They're disgusting, dirty SOBs. And if they have their hand in it, it's probably nefarious. So that's my default setting. Somebody asked me today how things were going, and I said, code yellow on the verge of orange. That's my military awareness setting. You know, I'm always on code yellow. I'm always suspecting. Even people up here when we sit and just talk, I'm on code yellow. Sorry, but that's just the way it is. Unfortunately, as a species, you know, we tend to be cutthroat. You never know what somebody's out to get. I respect everyone, but trust very few. And even then, you know, so it's just the way it goes. I've got some articles here that I wanted to talk about. They've had a great weekend in Mexico. Somewhere, I think it's up over 100 deaths. They've had prison riots, beheadings, somebody ambushed some police. In like one town, there were like, I think they said 12 beheadings of policemen. Let's see there. There is over there directional, and there is... Okay, I don't know where that came from. That's kind of funny. But we have more beheadings and assassinations and violence going on in Mexico than we almost... I think Afghanistan's kind of heated up, so there may be a little equality there, you know, in the head count. So I should do that. I should every day come up with a head count for the different nations that we're involved in, and then compare it to what Mexico is, where, you know, all we're doing is buying their drugs and vacationing on their beaches, according to them, and doing nothing else, but putting millions and millions, if not billions of dollars of financial and military aid down there. Not to mention all the repatriated dollars that the 20 million plus illegal aliens up here sent back to Mexico. And just this incredible violence on the border that's spilling over. It hasn't spilled over to the extent that I fear it will. But maybe then... And Calderon, the whiny president of Mexico, keeps blaming us. I actually tried to get an email through to him. I went through some consulates and said, please pass this on to El Jefe, El Guapo Gordo, the chief Mexican in charge down there. Tell him to just request UN troops. Why not? Why not let UN troops go in there, send a bunch of Africans and Eastern Europeans and some Poles and, you know, maybe a couple Scandinavian nations down in there and, you know, get everything in order. Declare a no-fly zone over Mexico, blockade the ports, quarantine the borders, just like they do with African nations that start doing this. I don't understand why Mexico gets, you know, like, totally ignored by that. You know, you hear about, like, Amnesty International and stuff, but you don't hear about any UN... sanctioned agencies going, oh no, we must get in there. It's weird. It really is. It's like everybody treats Mexico like America's mistress. Oh, don't, you know, we all know America's got this thing going on with Mexico, but don't bring it up. Just,
it's like,
you know,
a lower Israel.
Yeah, it's like another Israel, isn't it? It's like a lower quality Israel. You know, let's let Mexico fall apart and bring America down with it, but do nothing. That's a good point, Lou. I don't know if anybody heard you say that because it was kind of quiet, but Mexico's like right under Israel. You know, let's just leave it alone and let them do whatever they want. And right now, they're just doing it to themselves, to the most part. I mean, they do some pretty heinous things to tourists that go down there and visitors and people that disappear. You know, the old urban legend, waking up with your kidney missing kind of thing. I'm sure that actually happens. The sex slave industry is huge down there. You know, everybody cries and complains about restitution to surviving families of former slaves in America, but we got active slavery going on in Mexico right now as we speak, both corporate and illegal. You have American corporations going down there paying guys, you know, $35 a week in unsafe conditions so they can, you know, they can make better profit margins. And then you have actual sex slaves and labor slaves working in the drug trade. And it's not uncommon to see huge lines of young girls being brought into America. I saw it when I was on the border. There's a place down in Otay Mesa. They call it the Rape Tree. They break them in. To psychologically bust them, they bring young girls into this little camp just south of the border. They brutally gang rape the girls, throw their panties up in a tree and brag about it while our law enforcement watches and can do nothing. And, of course, the Mexican law enforcement's not going to do anything. I saw this whole documentary on it. Plus, I've talked to people that are over there, and I said, is that true? They really have a rape tree? Yep. Panties in the tree. All over, you can see them. It's in a ravine. And I said, this calls for some good old vigilante justice. That's what it should be. We should, late one night, some committees of vigilance should man up, go across the border, and rescue these girls. Don't bring them into America, but let them go. And line up and shoot in the head every one of the scumbags that's involved with it, period. And you know what would happen? America would get all nuts over that. Oh, Americans going in and doing vigilante justice. Well, they were rescuing rape victims that are involved in slave trade for the sex industry. Oh, well, that's their problem. But we had guys with guns. We had Americans go in there and use guns. Everything's upside down right now, isn't it? Everything's upside down. Yeah, they're all mad about U.S. border guards, you know, whatever. I don't even know what to call them anymore. Border Patrol, ICE, whatever. Well, the guys on our side in uniforms that shot a 15-year-old boy for hurling rocks. They're all upset about that. But they're not saying anything about the thousands and thousands of young women that are smuggled in this country every year to be used in secret brothels. And you know why? Because you know who goes to those brothels, don't you? America's power elite. It's not a bunch of guys getting off after work cashing their check on a Friday and going to a brothel. No, they go to the bar and pick up bar women. It's the rich men that don't want anybody to see them, don't want anybody to know what they're doing. And they're going in there and they're getting these sex slave little girls and then sometimes little boys that are brought in through Mexico. It's disgusting. And we're not doing anything about this whole nation just going up in flames in the south of us. We need to put up the border. We need to quarantine the nation. See, people can say, you're calling for troops? No. I'm calling for a complete quarantine of Mexico. Calling it off limits. Nobody can travel there. If you're an American with interest down there, cash them out. Give like a 90-day thing. Cash them out. Maybe 30-day. Let's do that because then there's less time for corruption. Sell everything you can and get out. If you still want to do business down there, you're on your own. The United States will not guarantee nor protect your interests in Mexico. The nation is like a giant cancer in this hemisphere. Even Colombia is getting straightened out. Have you know? When's the last time you heard about Colombia, about violence in Colombia? They're having some border skirmishes with Venezuela, but they're like our ally now down there. You don't hear about whole streets being blown up by drug lords in Colombia anymore. It's Mexico. You know, you don't hear about Argentina falling into another coup, do you? I mean, their economies are terrible. But Mexico, they're spitting distance from San Diego. And we do nothing about it. And yet, millions of Americans every year go down there and spend their money. Billions of dollars of U.S. industry got sucked down in there with NAFTA. And what was the other one? What was the other treaty? Can't remember off the top of my head. It's a complete vile country. Where violence is part of the culture now. I'm not talking racism. I'm talking socioeconomic. Their culture is a culture of violence. From top to bottom. And then there's, you know, of course, just the regular folks. I don't know what the percentages are, but if they're the majority, why don't they grab pitchforks and go march on both sides in this civil war? Yeah, that's right. It's a civil war. It's a narco-civil war. And then in South, in Chiapas, you've got the communists sitting back trying to take advantage of it. Let the drug lords and everybody fight it out. And then the communists are going to come in and take over. Once that country goes completely unstable, you can bet you that China and everybody else are going to be knocking at their door to help them rebuild.
NAFTA and GATT.
GATT. It was GATT. Thank you. I almost said GAP. Like, you know, let's go to the GAP in the mall and get some really nice jeans. GATT. Yeah, it was GATT. NAFTA and GATT. They've shipped all of our jobs down there, and now we're shipping all of our money above the board and below the board. And they're shipping over prostitutes and slave labor for what corporations are left here. It's disgusting. You go into L.A., and you look in the newspaper, and you look up, like, personal adult services, and there's all these Latina gifts comes to your home. You know, we'll give you, what do they call it? It was like a shower service or something where they come and wash you in the shower. It's prostitution. They're sex slaves. It's in the newspaper. Los Angeles Times lets them put them in there. Massage therapy in your home. Private dancers. And they're either Asian, which are also probably sex slaves, but there's a predominantly number of Latinos doing it. Right there in broad daylight, nobody cares about it. We're going to be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
The grape shot and musket and the cannons lumber loud. It's many a mangled body, the blanket for the shroud. It's many a mangled body left on the fields alone. I am a rebel soldier, and far from my home. Good old cup of brandy and a glass of wine. You can drink to your true love, and I will drink to mine. You can drink to your true love, and I'll lament and moan. I am a rebel soldier, and far from my home. I'll build me a castle on some green mountain high, where I can see Polly when she is passing by. Where I can see Polly and help her to mourn. I'm a rebel soldier, and far from my home.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out all point buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
I like how you just have it slightly in the background there, Lou, so you have to be actually actively listening to hear it, to hear the insult. Did you just call my listeners peasants? He's like, what? This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. This is the second half hour, the first half, first hour of 2 hours. For those of you playing along at home, you can check out our score sheet. We got 1 half hour to go before we get on Liberty Tree Radio, and 1 hour and a half left of the entire show, which means we have a half an hour done in the can, as they say, and being recorded. There are archives that have been put up by Olima. Find those on the website.
You're being recorded.
Yeah,
I
am.
I'm wearing a wire.
I am being recorded. You can go to dutchjones.tk and find out a little more about us. You can email me at dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. You can call me. Area code 5999. What's our phone number?
561-8225.
559-561-8225. We talk about anything here. This is an open forum. This is not a formatted show. The only format I have is I like to play that intro because I have little tidbits of things and people I respect in there. Now, I don't respect Ronald Reagan, but I like that one quote that he said, you know, that government is the problem. He's basically like saying, you know, the old thing like, hi, I'm here from the government, I'm here to kill you, rape your wife, enslave your children, and take everything you own. I'm paraphrasing, but that's how I would have said it. Boy, there's so many wires around here on the floor now.
You're like, wearing a bunch of wires.
Yeah, I'm wearing a bunch of wires wrapped around my legs. So you're welcome to call in, talk about anything you like, unless it's something really weird, and then I'll find a polite way to get you off the air. You know, because I don't want to go on and on and on about some, you know, particular conspiracy thing. We are current event driven. We like to, what I do is I look through the media and I see headlines like, let's see, we got to pray for our folks in Oklahoma. It's just flooding everywhere again. We're dry here. I wish we could get some rain. Oklahoma, Arkansas last week, all kinds of weird stuff. Kyrgyzstan. Uzbeks flee Kyrgyzstan. There's another international calamity there. There's a bunch of kids walking down the street. You don't usually see that up here. Teenagers. One with bright orange hair. Interesting. Makes it easier to target, I guess. Probably went down to the river to swim, then realized, hey, we're going to get ripped down into the rapids. They're warning us here. 6-week slide in gasoline prices may be ending. Things like that. You know, I like to read the headlines and kind of put them together. Little things going on all over the place. But here's one that caught my eye, because when I'm reading this, I want you to remember that earlier this year it came out in our local paper that they were using drones, unmanned aircraft, to fly up and down this area where I live here on Tulare County, California, to look for marijuana growing. And I'm not talking about 50, 60 plants. We're talking about millions of plants here. It is a major crime syndicate. Ant just bit me. That is growing huge fields up here. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. Now, I don't know the street value on a pot plant, but that's what they say. But at the very least, it is millions and millions of pot plants growing up in here. Hundreds of thousands of them. And they have every strike force you can imagine from all different agencies. So they said, to make it a little easier, they're going to be using a military-grade drone to fly around. So immediately we know, even interviewed the guy who runs it, it's run out of one of the naval air stations or something, or Air Force. And they fly it over here, fuel it up, and they give that information to local, federal, state, county law enforcement, and they help them, do through thermal imaging, they said, and site analysis of images to see what kind of things they're doing. They use cargo nets, they do whatever they can to cover it up, but it's just, sometimes it's obvious. And they go in there and they send in all the Ricky Ranger rescuers from different alphabet soup initialized agencies, and they pat themselves on the back. Well, they've been using it for a long time up here, obviously at least several months. Well, here's this article. Feds under pressure to open U.S. skies to drones. Washington, unmanned aircraft have proved their usefulness and reliability in the war zones of Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, these pressures... I gotta start all over again. Now the pressure's to allow them in the skies over the United States. The Federal Aviation Administration has been asked to issue flying rights for a range of pilotless airplanes to carry out civilian and law enforcement functions, but has been hesitant to act. Really? Huh. Officials are worried they might plow into airliners, cargo planes, and corporate jets and zoom around at high altitudes, and endanger helicopters, hot air balloons, through the whole spectrum of our airspace. On top of that, these pilotless aircraft come in a variety of sizes. Some are as big as small airliners, others the size of a backpack. The tiniest are small enough to fly through a house window. Now, if you believe what you see on the military channel, they're the size of insects and birds. They even have birds size that use bird style of flight to move around and get into your business. On top of that, these pilotless aircraft come in a variety of sizes, it says. Okay. Now, the obvious risks have not deterred civilian demand for pilotless planes. Tornado researchers want to send them into storms to gather data. Energy companies want to use them to monitor pipelines. State police hope to send them up to capture images of speeding cars. Local police envision using them to track fleeing suspects. See? The genie's out of the box. The technology will overtake all of us, just like it's been predicted. You can watch whatever you want to, Anthony. Yeah, you can watch that. Thank you for asking. Like many robots, these planes have advantages over humans for jobs that are dirty, dangerous, or dull. The planes often cost less than piloted aircraft and can stay up far longer. There is a tremendous pressure and need to fly unmanned aircraft in civilian airspace, says Hank Krakowski, FAA's head of air traffic operations. He told this to European aviation officials recently. We are having constant conversations and discussions, particularly, I can never say that word, particularly, with the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security to figure out how we can do this safely with all these different size of vehicles. Now, we already know that our airspace is crowded, and they want to do this. And, you know, it's going to be one of those things. Does the payment of being able to nab all of us for speeding outweigh the risk of possibly killing a few airliners? We all know where this is headed. Now, there are two types of unmanned planes. Now, you get your drones, which are automated plane programmed to fly a particular mission, and aircraft that are remotely controlled by someone on the ground, sometimes from thousands of miles away. You know what that is? It's all these video game generation people that have grown up to be able to use a joystick or a keyboard real quick. Last year, the FAA promised defense officials it would have a plan this year. The agency, which has worked on this issue since 2006, has reams of safety regulations that govern every aspect of civilian aviation, but is just beginning to write regulations for unmanned aircraft. I think industry and some of the operators are frustrated that we are not moving fast enough. But safety is first, Krakowski said in an interview. This isn't Afghanistan. This isn't Iraq yet. This is a part of the world that has a lot of light airplanes flying around, a lot of business jets. One major concern is the prospect of lost communications between unmanned aircraft and the operators who remotely control them. Another is a lack of firm separation of aircraft at lower altitudes away from major cities and airports. Planes entering these areas are not required to have collision warning systems or even transponders. Simply being able to see another plane and take action is the chief means of preventing an accident. The Predator B, already in use for border patrol, which is I think is the same one they're using here, can fly for 20 hours without refueling, compared with a helicopter's average flight time of just over 2 hours. Now the good guys at Homeland Security want to expand their uses along the borders of Mexico and Canada and along coastlines for spotting smugglers of drugs and illegal aliens. The Coast Guard wants to use them for search and rescue. Probably the only valid, honorable reason I can see would be search and rescue. Think about that. Now, the National Transportation Safety Board held a forum in 2008 on safety concerns associated with pilotless aircraft after a Predator crashed in Arizona. The board concluded the ground operator remotely controlling the plane had inadvertently cut off the plane's fuel. Yeah, some 16-year-old kid in a trailer, you know, in Iowa running it. Texas officials, including Governor Rick Perry, Senators Kay Bailey Hutchinson and John Cornyn, and Representative Henry Cuehler, he's the only one I don't know who that is, have been leaning on the FAA to approve requests to use unmanned aircraft along the Texas-Mexico border. FAA recently approved one request to use the plane along the border near El Paso, but another request to use along the Texas Gulf Coast and near Brownsville is still pending. Homeland Security Secretary Janet the Butch Napolitano has told lawmakers that safety concerns are behind the delays. Cornyn is blocking a Senate confirmation vote on President Barack Obama's nominee for the number two FAA job, Michael Huerta, to keep the pressure on. Other lawmakers want an overall plan to speed this up. Now, think about this. You've got a guy flying an airliner full of human beings. Go help her get it started. Flying human beings around. He's got that huge responsibility on his hands. So before he flips a switch, pushes a button, or decides to take a nap, he's going to think twice while he's flying that giant, what are we up to now, 787s? Is that what we're up to, 797s? I don't know. I'm not allowed to fly. But you got some 20-something-year-old Air Force, you know, master's degree geek, like I said, in Iowa, flying this thing. What does he care if it crashes? There's no personal risk involved. I mean, the detachment is more than just miles. It's emotional and it's professional. I'm sorry. And if you've got kids or you know anybody that does these things, it's not the same as being there. So when they, you know, that's going to be one layer there. That's my opinion. That the people flying these are going to hit stuff. They're going to hit buildings. So, you know, because I don't care about the technology. There's something different about sitting in the front seat of that car and driving it down the freeway versus trying to remotely drive it. You just can't, it can't be the same. The human factor will be seriously detached if not taken out completely. Plus, the problem of abuse. They're going to use these for everything from, missing kids, they'll say, to stopping invasions of terrorists and drug dealers. But the reality is they're going to be flying over your house looking for that shed that you built without the permit. They're going to be looking for maybe variations and violations in your building codes. Because they're going to have to pay for these things to stay in the air, and they're going to add every level of law enforcement to them they can and code enforcement. Trust me. It's the same reason why we used to have law enforcement officers. We used to have a county sheriff or let's get even a back farther. You had the town marshal who took care of people. Made sure that they, that the bad guys didn't come into town. They were disarmed, all that kind of stuff. So, organized posses. But then what did it degrade down into? Speeding tickets. Licenses, procedural things, so that they could just get a little bit more money from you. So these drones are going to be used to feed the beast, the general fund, violating your rights, And then just the individual misuses, Guys want to see what their girlfriend's doing, so they stray off the flight path a little bit to take pictures of her house. We don't need this. Now, the ones that they're using here, it said in the paper they fly at 15,000 feet and above, so there's no countermeasure for them for us. Until we step up and get that handheld laser, weapon or something, and we can pinpoint it. As far as, strategically against being used, tactically rather, against militias, there's nothing you can do about it. One quote that somebody sent me when I was talking about this in a chat room was, "You just assume you're being watched all the time, smile and put on a good performance." But it's just another sickness in our loss of freedom. It's just another symptom, I meant to say, in our loss of freedom, in the sickness, the disease of tyranny. They can be way far away. They can be close up. They can be perched in a tree. I mean, that's, again, and this comes to question, too, in this. Maybe they don't even have that kind of capability. They may have one or two drones or something at a time. Maybe they, I don't know. And they want us to think they can see us all the time, so we start self-policing ourselves out of fear and paranoia. Because, like I said, the stuff I know about drones I've seen on the Discovery Channel other than the U.S. Border Patrol, the American Border Patrol, which is a volunteer group out of Arizona, a bunch of aviation guys put their own drone together for about $15,000, and they flew it themselves. Years ago, with thermal imaging, infrared imaging, all kinds of great optics, and they flew it themselves. They had a van and everything. They operated it in California for a while, and then California chased them off, and they're in Arizona now. ABP, American Border Patrol. You could go to their website and they would stream what they were seeing live. So it's already been done. The government's, late to the dance on this one, too. There were civilians that did it for cheaper and better and more efficient. It was just like a few dollars an hour to fly this thing. It was like a giant remote control airplane. But in the hands of the government, in the hands of law enforcement, it's going to be abused. Every aspect of law enforcement in this nation has been abused. From being able to look up people's license plates, trust me, that gets abused by cops all the time. They see a pretty girl go by. To outright abuses of power where they take out people that are their opponents. They bully people or they outright just take them out and shoot them. We cannot trust law enforcement with this kind of tool. We can't even trust the military with it. But there's still a thin veil there in most cases, but don't think for a minute that they don't deploy them when they think they need to. We already know they're deploying them now. So the article is misleading in saying that it doesn't happen yet. Obviously, they've gotten some kind of waiver here in Tulare County, or the whole thing was a hoax and they just wanted us to think it was up there. That's what we have to decide. I mean, can they really do these things? I mean, the dilemma, over the weekend, you heard about the little girl, she's like 16 years old, trying to sail around the world, set up her beacon, they couldn't find her. How come satellites can find a goat taking a dump in Afghanistan, but they couldn't find a 16-year-old girl right away? It's because the need to know that information. It's worth it for them to move satellites to find this goat taking a dump, but it's not their need to go find the deadliest catch crew that just sank off in the sea off of Alaska. They're not going to move satellites for that. So I don't think they have those kind of resources.
But it's a goat.
It's a goat, yeah, taking a dump, Lou.
I know.
National security depends on knowing when that goat has a bowel movement sometimes. So maybe they do have individual abilities to do this, but maybe they don't have a mass ability to do this. You understand what I'm saying? They say that they have these little bug-like things that can fly into your house, literally be a fly on the wall, transmit back imaging and audio of what you're doing. Okay. And why aren't they using it to find all the thousands of lost kids in America? See, that's what gets it to me. It's like if they really had it, wouldn't they be using it? I don't know. What do you guys think? I told you the phone number, 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Welcome, Orlin. Welcome to the show. Welcome to our little sandbox here, digital sandbox, cyber sandbox. Ah, boy, the sun is setting here, and it is making all these really tall weeds, they're like a grass, tall grass, just look golden brown like wheat. Like you know, they always say amber waves of grain, they're more like dark. But it's great. Great. I pause for a moment to just enjoy the beauty outside the window. Oh, so often we tend to not explore the beauty that God has created for us on this planet. And just what a joy it is to live in the world that He created. Sorry, I'm getting a little spiritual here, but every once in a while it just kind of kicks me in the head and I have an optical intrusion and go, you know what, I need to share that with the rest of the world. The green grass of the cemetery against the brown of the field and the green of our sniper mound. Look at that. We need to clean that off. Blow off all that debris and add some more dirt to it so it stays up. Yes, it was hot today, Warlin. But it's supposed to cool down tomorrow and throughout the week. And hopefully our training coming up next week will be nice and cool. We can all enjoy ourselves. Just enjoy fellowship and Christian militia camaraderie. I thought I'd get more calls on this drone thing. I thought people would be like, I can't believe they want to do that. More Big Brother. Where Texas is reversing it and taking out all their cameras and everything. You know, the rest of the country wants to put more cameras. Every place, you know, we don't have poles everywhere, so let's just put up free floating, flying. Pretty soon we'll have like big dirigibles, blimps everywhere with cameras on them because they can't, you know, they don't have poles everywhere. And they'll have a 100% security coverage of the entire country. You won't be able to fart without getting a carbon emissions ticket. And we just keep heading this way, and the sheeple of America just keep going, yeah, yeah, protect me. Protect me more and more. And cover me with cameras. I've said this before, and this is a statistic I got out of, I think it was Omni magazine, that said 1984, George Orwell's house. You know, it's not his real day, but in England now has like 48 cameras pointed at it. Within a block of his house, there's 48 cameras. He sure predicted it. He got the date a little bit wrong, but, you know, that's okay. I'll give that old socialist a... It's funny, he's a Fabian socialist, George Orwell, and he warned us about what his people were going to do, and it happened. You know, here we do. We have a security nanny state now. I can't get on a mode of transportation without proper papers. I can't move freely anywhere without, you know, displaying a permit on my car, which is the license plate. That's what it is. It's you asking permission. Everything they said has come true, and it's in today's headlines. Everything's there, folks. Here it is. 1984 is here, and we willingly walked into the gate. And the majority of people either don't want to admit it, and those that do know don't want to do anything about it. You wouldn't believe how many people send me emails like, oh yeah, that's real stupid. What do you think you guys are going to do? You're not going to change it. It's best just to play along. That's fine. You know, just keep living your life like that. Keep living in a hole, and then every once in a while, good old government will come by and dump some slop in the hole for you to eat, and you'd be happy. You just stay in that hole because they don't want you doing anything. They'll close down everything. They'll limit you. I don't know how fast it's come, people, but I can tell you it is coming. I keep getting more and more nightmares about it, and I know that's just because of the stress of thinking about it too much. Maybe that's why I kind of swear off the computer contact over the weekend so I can just escape into the, you know, just every once in a while, just kind of forget about it like the rest of the world does it, you know, 24/7. We need to do that once in a while. You need to take your kids up in the hills and just camp. You need to just separate from the media frenzy and the brainwashing and the stress and all that disgusting, stupid stuff that they're force-feeding us on television, and just enjoy what the Lord has made for us. Just sit back and take it easy, relax a little bit. Then when you come back Monday, be ready to fight like a Christian soldier. Be ready to stand in the gap. We all know, you know, the quote, the only thing that is required for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. And I can expand on that all I want all day, but that is the basic truth. It's good men and women just say, oh, I'm either going to play along to get along, or I'm going to stick my head in the sand. They are no better than the evil people that are foisting this all upon us. And like I say here often, I don't want sheep. I want sheepdogs. I want to meet sheepdogs. I want to meet people who are willing to risk. I watched some great stuff over the weekend, you know, and they butcher it on the History Channel, but about just the Founding Fathers, everything that they risked. I mean, I couldn't find, you know, look at how many people signed the Declaration of Independence. I don't know the exact number, but it was more than six. And as soon as they signed it, they signed their own death warrant. Could we get that many people to sign something like that today to stuff in Obongo's face? If we made our own Declaration of Independence today that basically threw down the gauntlet and shouted into the face of the New World Order, and specifically the U.S. government, and said, you will return to the Constitution, you will cease and desist all these ridiculous laws, you will stop harassing your people, you will stop robbing us, you will go back to the basic core Constitution, and you will walk away from Washington, D.C. without resistance, or we will force you. If we had a document that said basically that, you know, and then had this, you know, how dare you position yourselves over us? You are criminals and you will be tried. How many people would sign that document, knowing that if their name was on it, they would be added to a new list, people the government's got to kill because now we're outright threatening them? Not very many. A lot of people would, you know, sign it in their neighbor's name or something. Hello, Stacy. You snuck up on me like a ninja. There's mail there. One of the things you were expecting did come in. Because I wanted to call you and tell you what it was, but my phone died. And you weren't answering your phone.
Mine don't work.
Did you stop working?
Yeah. I tried to text you to see what you guys were doing.
Yeah. Take Lou's phone from now on until you get it fixed.
Oh, sweet.
So, yeah. And then I got something there for a package, but that's where it goes. Go ahead, Lou, roll. And when we come back after the top of the hour, we will be on Liberty Tree Radio. And I'm going to be talking about the violence in Mexico, and I expect you guys to call in. Let's show what kind of people we have here listening to this show. We'll be right back.
It's coming down. It's coming down. New world orders, training armies on our ground. With soldiers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at the enemy. I know a man who lives way up in Idaho, whose sole desire was only to be left alone. One day he sold a so-called friend a gun. One day the federal troops showed up and shot his wife and son. It's coming down. It's all around. The new world orders, training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at the end. Way down upon a Waco, Texas farm, I saw the lawless law there flex its long lean arm. Before the sealed search warrants could even be served, the ATF shot up the place. Some got what they deserve. It's coming down. It's in your town. The new world orders, training armies on our ground. troopers dressed in black and blue. I bet their leaders think they're fooling me and you. Foreign troops, they train upon American soil. They hide and sneak around like snakes that slither and coil. And while the people turn their heads complacently, their federal income tax goes up to fund this tyranny. It's coming down, it's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in blue and black, like the vicious
dark. Government,
there's rebellion in the wind.
New world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention!
World order. A new world
order. Attention! This is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
that. Jerry's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Dutch Jones radio program. I'm Dutch Jones, your lovable host. And this is the second hour of our daily transmission, but it is the first hour on Liberty Tree Radio. We're glad to be over here. And we had a nice little weekend to rest up, at least I did. Stacy spent the whole weekend doing laundry and getting excited about her new pistol and doing all the... Hey, you guys have no idea what it takes to buy a pistol on the books here in California. It is just the paperwork, the... And then, you know, she has to fill out that special form that says, have you ever advocated the overthrow of the government? And I was like, what? There was like one yes and the rest were no's. And I said, just... Yeah, so I made sure she didn't check in anything weird.
Are you a citizen of the United States?
Yeah, they ask if you're a citizen, but I that doesn't
work. This is, are you not a drug addict?
Yeah, are you not? Are you receiving, are you under indictment or investigation for something, a felony for imprisonment of over 1 year? Well, how would I know that? You know, I most times they don't tell you when they're investigating you. So it's kind of stupid. So she hasn't got her Walther P-22 yet. She's been saving for like 2 years to get a new pistol and scrounging and sending in bottle caps and mowing people's yards and, you know, cleaning out fireplaces for, you know, two tuppence.
Collecting cans.
She finally got enough to buy. I thought she was, honestly, she was saving to get a Glock, but they're just too expensive. Yeah, and then she needs a little teeny tiny 22. She didn't say anything yet. I'm wearing her old 22 on my belt right now. It's right here. Put it in a leather holster. This would be a little more manly than that little pink furry thing you had it in.
Pink camo.
Yeah. Pink camo.
Green.
Oh, really? It must be a trick of the eyes. I thought it was fuzzy pink stuff. So there we go. So yeah, California. And it was funny. The guy behind the counter was like, you know, you'd like to look at anything? I said, no. I don't buy guns on paper. You know, just flat out told him. The guy, he's a reserve cop. I checked him out, and I just started doing my best anti-cop stories while Stacy was there filling out the paperwork, you know. Because I'd say, hey, how about this gun? Oh, you can't have that gun. That's law enforcement only. Oh, like a cop's going to know more about a gun than a trained civilian. You know, I just kept throwing these things out to make them mad. But we're going to end up getting it someday. I think she has, what, a 10-year waiting period? Isn't it a 10-year waiting period to go pick up? 10-year? 10-day waiting period to go get your firearm here in California? It's sad, and it is sad. But
then all my friends are going to come and get it.
All these rules, and we live in... I mean, you guys don't hear the stuff on the nightly news, I guess, because of the time differences and stuff. It's a very violent state. You know, L.A., Sacramento... All these, you know, all this gun control we have here, and it's just terrible.
Yeah.
Doesn't do any good.
Yeah, it doesn't make
you know, she has to wait 10 days to get a 22 pistol, but yet some Mexican gang member, I'm just stating a fact, it's not a racial thing, can run down the street in Fresno with an AK-47 that traced back to Chicago and shoot up a bunch of people.
But hey, at least it's not.
Yeah, at least it's not what?
Massachusetts.
At least it's not Massachusetts, but so it doesn't really matter, you know. But you, I'm preaching to the choir. You guys know all that stuff. I apologize. If you want to comment on this or anything that we talk about here, this is the modern day campfire. This is a place for sheepdogs to come and complain about what it's like out there, to share information. If you're going to give us intel, please back it up. I got a bunch of stuff over the weekend about stuff that's been going on down in Nolens and on the Gulf Coast, and I can't verify any of it, so I'm not going to share it. A lot of people want me to do a specific show on that, but I just can't find any corroborating evidence. So if you know somebody down there, have them take pictures and email them to me. I want to spread the truth. Phone number is 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. You can email me at dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. DUTCHJONS show. @yahoo.com, member of JOENS. We got some videos in the mail today from a friend. Was it God Bless America Again? God Save America Again, and then what was the second one?
Zionism
and Christianity. So thank you. You know who sent that. We got them. We appreciate the gifts of knowledge as well as the gifts of monetary donations. So if there's something you think we need to see, we started to watch them. When we'd seen most of the stuff, we'd seen everything on the Pete Peters one. You know, God Save America Again. We've seen that one. We've got that. We was on our website for a while. I think I took it off.
Yeah.
We may put it back up again. Maybe put it on another page or something. So thank you for that. We got the monetary donation from Minuteman. Thank you. It came via El Pastor. Thank you. The post office box that we're using, I've made a big old stink about it, and they know I'm watching it, so it's probably secure. But just be advised, we're going to be changing that. We're going to go to Three Rivers, the next town over. As much as I hate to abandon this little post office, but the lady who is now doing the mail is a stinking liberal, pink-hearted, hippie, you know, sodomite-loving, scum-sucking female, and she listens to the show. There's comments that were made at a recent meeting. I know they listen to the show, the people that run the post office now. Cannot be trusted. They fondle our mail. They hatefully, you know, try and steam the envelopes and read through it. We got one envelope. It's actually a hard cardboard package that somebody had sliced open and taken some stuff out of. So I don't put it past these hippies at the post office. They don't show up on time. Today I went in there and it said I had a package, but I have to be there exactly at 12:30 to get the package, or it'll be sent back.
You were in there.
No, I went in there at like 12, and they didn't have the mail out, so I left and we went swimming with the kids. Come back at like 1:30, and it says you must be here exactly at 12:30 to get your package. So, and I know what it is—the part for the 4Runner that we needed. So we'll be back tomorrow. So, so you know, tyranny is of little people too. I mean, little people that run post offices because they're on her property, and she hates us already, which is great. You know, we don't care. Their hate just burns them up. Their stupidity and ignorance reflects right back on them.
But they're not supposed to hate people.
Yeah, they want everybody to get along except for us. You know, that's just the way it is. I had a good lot of talks on Friday with people in the area where I got to learn some things. And it's just people, you know, that I'll remember when the bad time comes and these scum-sucking, sodomite-promoting Fabian socialists come crawling up to the front gate and say, please, please help us. I'll be like, Jesus Christ, I did not know you. I don't know you now. You know, see ya. Here's a baggie with some fish hooks and some string in it. There's a lake right down there full of fish, maybe. I don't know if there's still fish in it, but send them on their way. It's period. We did get some kind of weird news today. I talked to one of the cowboy that's been using our our field for his cows. I got to talk to him quite extensively. And you guys in the first hour, you can go get a soda or something, because I already told you this. And he said that our bottom soil is just terrible, that it's not good for grazing because they had sheep in here and the sheep destroyed it. So he recommended that we disc it, add some different grasses to it, and just let it be by itself for a while. It may take a couple of years to bring it back. And he said, even then, only put a couple head of cow on it. If you're gonna, because I said, in a survival situation where I can't buy cattle feed or hay, how many cows can I support on this in each one of these sections? It's no more than two. He goes, and you're going to have to rotate them around because the stuff will grow. And he goes, managing the land is critical in the cattle industry. And I didn't talk in great detail about it, but it's amazing what the cattle industry has grown into here. You know, you have the mega corporate farms like Agland and stuff have really pushed the little guys out, like this guy. You know, he may have a couple thousand head of cattle, but he's a little guy compared to what the corporations are doing. He has to put all of his cattle in a trailer when he's ready to sell them, and he can either drive them to major markets and auction houses, or he goes to the Holiday Inn parking lot that in Visalia, and a crew from I think it's like the Rancher Television Network. They have a field studio set up, and they videotape or live. They put on camera, they weigh, and they show the cattle, and they sell them over the satellite. Over, it's like RFI television or something like that. It's a rural, yeah. Remember Ranch and Farm?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I've watched them before. Yeah, they got great little horse shows and stuff. And that's how he sells his cattle now. And then I should have asked him how they ship them or anything, but it's an interesting sub-market because the big corporations have taken everything over, the big feedlots and everything. And he says some of the cattle that people are selling are just terrible. And he's saying, I said, well, who buys the terrible cattle? And he goes, oh, McDonald's, Carl's Jr. They grind everything up and just mix stuff in it to make it taste good and pound it and put tenderizer all over it. He goes, they buy all the old cows, you know, that nobody wants, the cheap ones.
Probably have mad cows.
I don't know if it has mad cow. You get mad cow from feeding beef to beef. And then he told me that there's a big industry out there where he buys up, like, let's say he buys 500 horses sight unseen. So then he gets them over here and he cuts through them, and about half of them are worthy horses for him to use for his cattle ranch or to sell and you know, that kind of stuff. And the rest of them are eaters that he sells in Canada, and there's a place up there that renders them. Now, I guess there are markets around the world that still buy horse meat. I have no problem with that. But he says usually they buy the ones that are just terrible, you know. But he says it's to the point now where it's not making money for itself anymore because the price has dropped, you know. But it was interesting, and he's got a bunch of horses up there. That was nice to know. It was a nice relationship to build. He's, oh, yeah, I got like 1,100 head of horses. I said, so, like, if everything goes to poop, we can get a couple horses from him. He's like, oh, sure, you know, so we could use them for transportation and eating. Yeah, well, I will next time. I'll see if we can go up there. He lives on the end of the 12-mile road at the very top of the hill, and it was founded in 1889. It was actually an advanced camp of the communists. They weren't communists. They were Marxists back then. And it was self-sustaining up there. Everything was self-sustaining. In the 20s, they had a gravity-fed by water springs, so they didn't have to pump their water. They had a turbine, a water wheel, that generated all the electricity they needed.
A turbine.
Yeah, a turbine. Thank you for correcting me on that. A turbine. I'm Al Gore now, turbine. A turbine that was spun at 1,700 gallons a minute coming off the mountain. He said it ran best when they turned on every single light. Well, in the 70s, they took all that stuff out, ran Edison up there, spent thousands of dollars, and now he's going, man, you know, it's going to cost a fortune to get back off the grid. So it was, you know, nice to see that there's a like-minded guy at the end of the road. Yeah, that's the problem. You know, we have a lot of Christians. Well, the cowboy Christians up here, and you ask them, they say the church is out there, the mountains, because they're outside all the time, and they just worship the Lord in their own way. So that's good. So we found out our soil's terrible, and we got to do some upkeep on it. But as soon as we found that out, one of our guys went down there and started tilling it and plowing it and doing stuff. So we'll probably get on that right away. Our next big project up here is we're going to start building antennas or getting antennas. We're setting up our radios, everything from CB to shortwave. Now's the time to do it. We're going to put up another FM antenna. I just had a nightmare on Friday trying to get our amplifier to work, getting too much energy reflecting back into it, so I'm just starting from scratch. just starting from scratch and going to do it that way, and not just take it one step at a time, not rush into it, because I want to make sure we do it right. I had some articles here I've been reading from. We were talking about a couple different things. Those of you that are just joining us on Liberty Tree Radio, just got an email from somebody called Team Infidel. I'll have to read that later. It's awfully wordy. But the feds are under pressure to use drones. We were talking about that, which is funny to me because we're being told in our county by the sheriff and by newspaper articles they're already using drones for drug interdiction up here in the marijuana fields. But they want permission to fly drones all over the U.S. now for anti-terrorism crimes, looking for lost kids, watching pipelines, all kinds of stuff.
Seeing
stuff. Well, that's the truth is what they really want to do. They want to be nosy. But it's interesting because a lot of the aviation world is like, no. We already have crowded airspace, and they want to throw drones up there. And the article said everything from small remote control aircraft the size of your computer up to big airliners that fly around. So that's what we were talking about before the break. I'm going to take a drink of water here. Hang on, folks. I'm trying to remain properly hydrated. Don't want to be a casualty. We were talking about that, and so we're going to jump in back on that again. I mean, it's pretty much common sense. Homeland Security Secretary Butch Napolitano is backing it. And, of course, Obama's probably behind it because it just means a tightening of the noose around our necks for security. The one thing that's interesting here is Marion Blakely, a former FAA administrator and president of the Aerospace Industries Association, whose members include unmanned aircraft developers, said the agency has been granting approvals on a base-by-base basis, but the pace is picking up. She acknowledged that there are still safety concerns that need to be addressed before the planes can be used more widely. Now, the point that I was making before we went to the break is the detachment between a 20-something-year-old Air Force brainiac, nothing against the brainiacs of the world, sitting in a Strategic Air Command at, let's pick Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado, and the pilot who's flying a 787 full of, your loved ones, it's a little detached. The pilot flying the loved ones around is going to pay attention to what he's doing. He's going to keep alert. He's going to keep ready. And the guy flying the, flying station wagon with all the camera gear on it and who knows what else is 1,000, 2,000 miles away. He's not going to be having the same diligence. I know you're saying, oh, they're professionals. They're going to do it. No, they're not. I mean, they're making mistakes with the armaments on these things in Afghanistan, aren't they? They're bombing the wrong houses. They're bombing weddings. They're doing all, or are they mistakes? And these same people are going to be adding to the congestion in our airways. These drones can stay up for 20 hours at a time. They're going to rotate operators, or they're going to be maintaining them for 20 hours at a time. I don't know. I don't know what the shifts are like. But I do know that anytime we leave anything up to the government, it gets abused. Mm-hmm. It gets misused. Mm-hmm. And it starts to decay in quality of service, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're probably naked girls.
Yeah, so I was saying that. They're going to be flying them over beaches, looking for bikini babes rather than, because the Coast Guard said they wanted to use them to protect our coast. Yeah, right. I can tell you this. Southern California, when they put in the traffic cameras everywhere, the original reason was to deal with congestion so they could warn people about it ahead of time. Now they're using them if you drive down through L.A. or Orange County where they're at. They're pointing into the houses. What does that have to do with traffic congestion?
I
mean, England's already given over to it. The surveillance society mindset. And the one that's used here, it's obviously one of the exceptions where they granted it the ability, unless they're lying about using it, is flying up and down these two canyons and over the national park looking for marijuana. Or are they looking for caches? Because it was the technology I saw, they could find things under the ground. Because they were saying some of these marijuana growers were, living underground and putting their equipment underground, their pumps, their solar-powered pumps and things to keep this stuff watered, in their multi-million-dollar industry here, alternative agriculture industry, they called it. So if I put a cache up there, they're going to find that too? They're going to go, oh, well, never mind that. We'll just leave that. That has nothing to do with marijuana. That's not part of our mandate for surveillance. So they want to use drones in the United States. I want to know what you think about that. 559-561-8225, if you please. If not, I'll just keep gabbing. So we're giving up more rights. Now there's going to be a fourth dimension of surveillance. They're going to be able to fly over to the back of your house and look where they couldn't look. The cameras on the poles weren't enough. Google Earth wasn't enough. It's not updated fast enough for them. Now they want a real-time Google Earth at their disposal. And, of course, they're rushing into this. Honestly, I'm surprised that our hired hacks in Washington haven't forced this through sooner, you know, in the interest of national security. There's the Border Patrol issue. You know, they want to put them along our borders. Why not? Why? There's one down there now, and it crashed in Texas. You know, what happens when they put 20, 30 up along the border? Are they going to... I mean, having the intelligence-gathering capability and having the raw intelligence is not the same thing as acting on that intelligence. That's another thing, too. I think they need to stop calling hemp marijuana. There's two specific kinds. You're right. That's a different issue. I understand. Hemp is different than marijuana. Hemp is used to make ropes and clothes and toasters and interstellar aircraft. But marijuana is used for glaucoma. I still think that's funny. The VA wanted to give me a marijuana card when I started getting glaucoma in my left eye. Anyway, but I digress. Yeah. I just don't trust our U.S. government with another arrow in their quiver to use against us. And I would be dead set against any agency of the government using drones inside the United States. They have enough resources now, and they don't use them anyway for what they're intended. The other day, hey, I mean, you know, how many people want to discuss this one? I can't remember if I discussed it on the air or not, but the Supreme Court came down with this minor little decision that you have to verbally declare that you're taking your Miranda rights seriously. You know, you can't just shut up, which I don't understand that, but we're slowly tearing apart certain rights and adding to the menu of things that they can use to poison us from their sick little buffet of tyranny. And so it's annoying. The other article I'm going to move on to, because I wanted to finish that thought, and if anybody wants to call up about that, that's fine, is, and I talked a little bit about it in the first half hour, the violence, but guess what? Wow, they're getting good in Mexico. Mexican drug-related violence claims 27 lives in one day. Well, since this article came out, it's even higher. The death toll's going up. I was looking at breaking news. Morelia, Mexico. Drug-related violence in Mexico Monday claimed 27 lives, including 10 police officers killed in an ambush in Weston... Oh, boy, I can't pronounce this. Michoacán? Is it like Michigan? Is there a Michigan in Mexico? Western Michigan State. No, it's Michoacán. Apologies to our Michigan listeners. And 17 inmates slain in prison violence in northwest Sonora State, officials say. That death toll in the prison thing's over 20 now. Monday early morning ambushes took place in the western town of Zitácuaro as a column of uniformed police was heading by car to Mexico City. 10 police officers and several assailants were killed in a shootout, Michoacán Public Security Ministry said. After the attack, soldiers and police launched a manhunt for the surviving attackers who remain at large, the ministry said. Police said the attackers removed their dead and wounded from the scene before fleeing. Isn't that like the excuse that we used to use in Vietnam? The Viet Cong removed their dead and their wounded. We don't really have a good death count, you know, KIA, so we're just going to make one up. You know, we're just going to throw up some numbers. So now the narco-terrorists in Mexico are carrying off their dead. It's kind of weird. Maybe they want a good Catholic burial. I don't know. Police said the attackers removed their dead and wounded. That's funny. However, Michoacán is the headquarters for the notorious La Familia cartel. Now, those of you that don't know, La Familia is denoted by the giant F. I think there's a football team, the Falcons or somebody. They use that F here in California. They stick it... Who Oh, what's she asking? Let me see the... thank you. Yeah, she said... Today was one of our listeners, Debbie's, birthdays, and we sent a present with Jim down there, so she's being all thankful. We sent her a giant sword. Yeah. Okay, so let's get back to it. So La Familia, you see it running around here today in California, the big F. It's not always a Falcons fan, so just so you know that. A little nugget of intel there. It's known as one of Mexico's deadliest drug trafficking organizations, which has a history of violent confrontation with the federal police. What notorious drug cartel in Mexico doesn't have a history of confrontation that is violent with Mexican police? Is there a nonviolent way to confront Mexican police? They have a snowball fight that I didn't hear about.
You know,
yeah, in Washington, D.C., when the cop got all mad. La Familia, which is said to be the top producer of synthetic drugs in Mexico, hey, welcome to the 21st century, unleashed a similar bloody assault against police last July that led to the deaths of just 16 officers. So they're trying to improve. You know, they're following that corporate plan, La Familia. This year, 16. Next year, a little more. In another recent attack, the drug cartel kidnapped 12 federal police officers, decapitated them, and dumped their bodies on a busy highway.
Jesus.
Okay, I'm just sitting here daydreaming about that. Yeah. That would happen here in a few corrupt counties where law enforcement is killing people. No, I'm not calling for the wholesale destruction of police or assassination or beheading in America. Back off, people. Nicholas, I know you're recording these now. You know, you can save that one for your archives. But nothing's changing in Mexico. It's just getting worse. Let's see. Michoacan is President Felipe Calderon's home state, from where he launched a nationwide crackdown against drug trafficking, deploying some 50,000 troops and police across Mexico in December of 2006. The problem is, of those 50,000 troops, at least 40,000 of them were on the payroll of the drug cartels. And I'm not, that's not a joke. I'm dead serious. I've been all over Central and South America. Most law enforcement and soldiers, I say most, 85 to 90% of them, get two paychecks. They get their $50 a week from the federale government, and then they get their $500 to $600 a week from the better paying, better equipped, better intel gathering, better persuasion drug cartels. It's just the way it is. Now, in the northwestern city, and I can pronounce this one, in Mazatlan, meanwhile, 17 inmates were killed Monday, that's today, in prison violence, according to the sources of the Sinaloa State Prosecutor's Office. We have 17 dead as well as two state police injured, said the source, who spoke privately and, you know, of course, anonymously. It was not immediately clear if there was a riot or another type of assault, the source said. When 17 people die in a prison, it's usually a riot. However, local press reports said about 20 of the inmates at the Mazatlan penitentiary are members of the notorious Los Zetas drug cartel headed by Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, the most wanted drug trafficker in the United States. And let me tell you a little bit about Zetas if you don't know. Zetas are former military people from Mexico that came to the United States. They went through some of our schools, our ranger schools, even some of our special forces schools, some of our federal law enforcement schools, went back to Mexico after getting all this, you know, great training, and then switched sides. Zetas are bad news. They use them as hit squads. They use them to penetrate up into America to settle things. I think they're probably on par with the 13. The MS-13 guys, the Mara Selva Sutra, and I always pronounce it wrong. It sounds like an ointment for gout or something, but MS-13. We'll be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones.
But soon before
the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
Government.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
You got nothing to say, Lou? Nothing to share? Nothing to share? Yeah. Nothing. Not even from a ginger kid or anything? That's pretty sad. All that time during the break and you didn't come up with anything to throw in there. This is Dutch Jones. This is the second half hour of the second hour that is on Liberty Tree Radio, but it's the second hour, so we're there of our entire program that is done off of dutchjones.tk, so that would make this the fourth and final half hour. Phone number to call in is 559-561-8225, 559-561-8225. Now, on Friday, we were talking about war movies and movies in general that are good to show your kids, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. That, you know, inspire like maybe an older, more American attitude, and we got off on some tangents, everything, and Bridge Over the River Kwai came up. Now, I haven't thought about nor talked about Bridge Over the River Kwai in probably 5 years. So it's kind of funny. Somebody called up and mentioned Bridge Over the River Kwai, and I shared with you how I've never actually been able to get through a whole sitting of seeing the whole movie. I've probably seen it all, but just not in one time. It's always been chunks. It comes up on late night television. I rent it, don't get to watch it all. Well, that night I watched a movie, and what did we watch? Sniper 3.
Yeah,
it was Sniper 3 with Tom Berenger. I mean, they're terrible movies. I'm sorry if you like them, but I watch them just because I like all sniper movies. And Lou hadn't seen them, but some of the stuff in them was just like, you know, the way they misidentify weapons and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But in his room, before he gets his mission, he's watching Bridge Over the River Kwai, and I'm like, that's kind of weird. And then the other one was, I started, somebody sent me a friend request on Facebook. I go to their page, and I've got, like, favorite movie, Bridge Over the River Kwai, number one. And then it happens on MySpace. And then there was something else.
We were watching something, and that came up
too. We were watching some, you know, get great movies, you know, great military movie of the month club or something. It was like, Bridge Over the River Kwai, and I'm like, what? So like five times this weekend, starting with Friday, we had references to Bridge Over the River Kwai. Lewis tried to find it for me online to download it, but there was no place he could download it. So I'm going to have to watch that movie all the way through. I don't believe in synchronicity or any of that weird voodoo stuff, but
Satan,
I do believe...
Satan doesn't want you to see it.
Yeah, Satan doesn't want me to see
you.
It. It may inspire me, but I do believe that God can send messages in weird ways. So I'm going to try and sit down and find out about this. So no True Sons of Liberty, you don't need to call in on it. In the chat room, they're talking about YouTube, how there's so many trolls on YouTube. And I agree with that. There are so many trolls on YouTube, you know, from all different agencies. They try and instigate arguments, try to get you, you know, lure you into saying things. But yeah, I know they're there. That's, in fact, I call it JewTube, you know, for all the ADL and Southern Poverty, you know, Law Center folks that are on there. But if somebody is on my friends list and it's a troll, it doesn't really hurt me because I don't talk to them. They don't influence me. In fact, I don't have a very long friends list. I think there's only like four people on there. But I have a lot of people following it. Subscribing, that's the word. They subscribe to the videos. I haven't made a video in a while. I need to
Tiki Torch Fight?
Yeah, we want to make... Yeah, we got this like loose script on Tiki Torch Fight we want to do, where Lewis and I go out in the middle of the night and we fight with Tiki Torches, and I got a song that goes with it. But no, on the more serious side, we've got some, you know, I need to make another video just kind of announcing my views and my standpoint and a call out from here at the Church at Kauai of the kind of people we're looking to fellowship with. So we want to do that. So we need to make sure that we, you know, keep up on that account. And True Sons of Liberty saying there's a difference between trolls and cyber agents. Yeah, I call them all trolls. So maybe I'm wrong in the definition. I'm not cyber hip. I don't know all the terms, but... you know, that's just me. But I know a lot of guys that are just armchair militia guys that just like to get the information and it makes them feel good. They'll never act on it. And then there's some people that are devious and they're looking to build relationships. But I have this unwritten rule that I don't, if I can't meet you face to face and train with you, the only thing you're going to get is superficial anyway. I just keep it at that level. I have phone conversation relationships with people all over the country. And, you know, but until I meet somebody face-to-face, I don't take anything serious. Until I see your commitment to the cause, the holy cause of liberty, I don't get too excited about, you know, whether I don't worry. Let's put it this way. I don't worry whether or not you're a plant or not if you can't do me any damage. And I don't let anybody do me any damage. It's just the way it is. I mean, nobody can get near me. I made mistakes earlier in my service to the cause, and they cost me dearly, and I learned from them. And one of the reasons that I, you know, as a result, I can't fly anywhere today. The state of California won't let me buy a firearm, even though I've never been convicted, charged, nor arrested for any kind of felony that I know of, that unless something happened, you know, in a delusional state. But when I, you know, that's long story short, I'm a person of interest, and it's because of mistakes I made in the past. So I conduct myself differently now, and that's too bad. I still do what I got to do. I still continue forging forward, and I don't live in fear of it. You know, I get you know, I'm going to be flat out with you. I get people threatening me all the time. I'm going to record your show and send it to the FBI. I'm like, they've already got it. They're probably subscribing. You know, they're probably sending in probably most of the donations I get are from probably federal agencies. You know, that want to keep me going because I'm not really saying anything that bad that I know of. I'm just saying everything that is truth. You know, that I know, as far as I know, I made some mistakes and I put some information out there. That's why I won't do some shows.
I say, if you don't like it, don't listen.
Yeah, well, that's a different issue. But I'm not gonna incite people to do something stupid, but I'm gonna incite people to do something righteous, something holy. So, and they should be more afraid of that, because the truth is far more fearful for the enemy. So that's where I go on that. But. I can do shows on all kinds of topics because that's just the nature. I'm trained to be a talking head. That's what I went to college to do, communications. And I switched to criminal justice, which was really a joke because only 1 year of my stuff was criminal justice. The rest of it was communications and public information and film editing and audio editing and all those things. So I could take anything and read it, so I don't want to do that. That's why I'm not going to do a story on the stuff that people are sending me on the Gulf Coast issues. I just don't have enough information. Better people than me can report on them. I'm seeing that we're getting more people in the chat room. That's great. I'd like to welcome all of you individually, but I can't remember who was here before and who's not. I know Ed's in there. Welcome, Ed. I see... I don't know who else has jumped in. I think that's it. Everybody else is good. And I'd like to welcome the folks over on Liberty Tree Radio, if I haven't welcomed you in. I'm getting a lot of email from listeners from Liberty Tree Radio. That's great.
Awesome.
I'm really enjoying that, getting people... good. So it's nice to see that people are listening. They may not take part in the chat, but they're listening in. Let's see. True Sons of Liberty says, you take security precautions on your ranch. Taking the same on the electronic ranch is just as important. The difference is they can't do me damage on YouTube. What can they do to me on YouTube? Get my account banned? Post something that's not true? They can't do me any kind of harm. They can't empty my bank account because of YouTube, because I don't exist. I mean, there is no Dutch Jones. So I don't worry about that. Someone coming onto our property is a completely different issue. Somebody making fun of one of my videos or cutting and pasting it like Nicholas did and making me say things. There's no lasting damage to that. In fact, it usually makes them look stupid. Let's see. Smut says he found me from Liberty Tree Radio. Great. That's good. So, True Sons of Liberty's in all caps now. Yes, they can. They can't. I've been doing this since I can remember when YouTube first came on, and never once has anything I said on YouTube ever brought somebody to my door. But I can tell you this, people that have threatened me on YouTube, I've sent people to their door, and they sent me cease and desist letters and like, leave me alone. My IP is not my IP, so they can't really get my IP. They can't get anything, True Sons of Liberty. People have tried to knock our systems down. The next day, we're back up. Their momentary victories are just...
within the next hour.
Within the next hour. Thank you. That's more true. This whole cyber presence thing, they really can't do anything that's going to be a lasting effect. It makes them burn up more resources and more time to do that. So... And even if they do, say nasty things on cyberspace, it doesn't bother me. You know, I've had real people come up here and shoot at me. That's a real issue. But somebody, sticks and stones kind of thing, I'm not going to worry about it. That's it. I had some guy, I checked out your IP. I know that you live in, and he gave some weird place. I'm like, we're nowhere near that. Go ahead. Go. I dare you. Yeah. It's like, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I said I lived in Placerville, California.
Yeah, in the middle of a field.
In the middle of a field. So, that's good. That's good. Go ahead. Go knock yourself out. go to the middle of a field in Placerville. I'll be waiting there. I'll have my wiffle bat, come on out. But it was funny. I had one guy who didn't think I could find him. He didn't know I was a private investigator. What?
You're going into the red.
Oh, I'm going into the red. Let me turn it down some. Thank you. I don't mean to destroy my audio. But it was funny because I located this guy who ended up being a sheriff's deputy in New York that was just causing all kinds of problems for the show and harassing people in the chat room. And I sent them a personal message. I contacted some people within an organization that I had a relationship with. They went right to his house. First, I sent him through the mail pictures of him, his wife, their cars. I sent them county budgets that showed who they were and what they were, because his wife was a U.S. Marshal employee. Not a marshal, but worked for the U.S. Marshal's office. And what they did is they grabbed this guy right out of the academy, and they said, hey, we're going to use you. You're going to shake the tree a little bit. This is a couple of years ago. And it turned out he was doing all kinds of stuff to other militias and causing problems. And so I sent his information out all over the place. And then when they found him, it was funny. This guy just like, I actually got a letter saying cease and desist, and if anything happens to this person, we're coming. I said, no, I'm not threatening him. I'm just letting him know how easy it was to find out who he was. And it was great. It was awesome. Just this guy got all scared, and they had like one of his supervisors send me a letter, and I responded to it just laughing at the guy, telling him how stupid they were. And, while they were wasting time with my little show, there were real raghead terrorists out there, planning to do something. What a joke that was. And so I haven't really had any serious attempts since then. I've had some people get inside our computers and do some things, and we clean them out and move on. I'm not going to let their meager attempts keep me from doing anything. keep me from serving the Lord in this holy cause of liberty. It's just not the way I operate. And it's more important that I get the message out to as many sheepdogs as possible. And that way I can do it by not fearing the little trip-ups. And if I got people that want to follow me on YouTube, Facebook, or MySpace, and they're just, you know, cyber people that, you know, never going to do anything, maybe I can motivate them. Maybe I can reach them with, you know, because, you know, there's so much stuff out there for the militia that's already mainstream militia, you know, and they're doing a great job. But when I come out there and talk a little bit about, you know, Christian history and the Christian cause of liberty and those kind of things, maybe I'll be able to glean a couple more, you know, and send them in the right direction. So it's far worth the cause of doing that rather than risking it and not reaching out. Like I said earlier about the guys that signed the Declaration of Independence, if that type of document were to come out today, if we had the wordsmith, you know, around today to write something that was just so poignant, direct, and biting to the tyrants of today, I don't know if you could get that many people to sign it that had things to lose. I mean, guys like me, sure, I could sign it. I got nothing to lose but my life and my family. But I don't have riches. I don't have a huge estate. So it's easy for me to make that decision. I'm in terrible shape physically. You know, so it's not like I'm going to have this long, fulfilled life that I'd be selling short. So it's easy for me to make that sacrifice. But everyday Americans that get so much, you know, they probably wouldn't do it. So that's why I spend my time looking for like-minded folks. And it's worth it. It's why we do our conference every year. It's why we send our DVDs and CDs to anybody that's willing to see them. Anybody, you know. And if a couple of them end up being FBI or cyber spies, well, so be it. We may even convert a few of them if they see the truth. I mean, like in the book Patriots, you get towards the... Well, I don't want to... Spoiler, book of Patriots. Towards the end, the federal and UN troops and stuff, or, you know, New World Order troops, started switching over. Maybe out of self-preservation, but they started getting, you know, seeing that what was going on was wrong. That's just the way it is. And we may be able to convert a few of them. We need moles on their side. We need people, when this thing sets off, and I'm along the lines of those that say it's definitely going to happen, it's just a matter of time. We can't just assume that we have to have this big wall between us and them, so we have to be recruiting them. And we have to find some good people on the other side, or we have to make sure that some good people go undercover and get into those. That's a tough one, because every young man that comes to me and says he wants to be a gyrene or a ground pounder or a wing wiper or a bilge mopper. I don't know, did I cover all the services? I didn't cover Coast Guard, but that's under Homeland Security now. I don't know. But I do my best to talk him out of it. I don't know if I succeed. And only once, I think, did I get a kid going, oh, yeah, you're right, I don't want to do that. I got an email from a listener in Spain. No, Portugal. A Portuguese person that listens, a young boy. He's 18. Not a boy, young man. Sorry, I didn't mean to insult you. His name is Lemuel. And it's funny because I haven't heard that name except in Outlaw Josie Wales, the guy pulling the ferry across. Lemuel. But he sent me an email saying he was going to join the Portuguese military to get training and stuff. And he liked my website, but I don't think he really grasped it. He didn't know anything about the New World Order. He listened to this show. I don't know where he heard it, off the website or off Liberty Tree Radio. But he just didn't know anything about the UN or, you know, how corporations send our standing armies to fight for oil and resources. And I started sending him a bunch of stuff. He's still going to do it, but at least I planted a seed in his head, you know, that, hey, maybe you might want to rethink this or get what you can out of it and then come out and actually fight for your country. Because I don't know anything about Portugal. I don't know if they have a constitutional form of government. I don't know if they're an oligarchy. I have no idea. But what I did know, and what I do honestly believe, is that standing armies tend to be corrupt. The men in them aren't always corrupt. I mean, you do have vile people that join militaries because they enjoy that kind of thing too much. You know, they get into it for the killing, not the life-saving aspect of it. And it's just, you know, I meet these kids that I talk to Serbian freedom fighters. Still say we're on the wrong side in that war, too. So I've been getting stuff from Croatians. I'm learning a lot about Croatians I didn't know. I mean, but I still, the Serbians I feel bad for. I don't feel bad for the Muslims. And I feel bad for the way that Uncle Clinton went in there and tore up their nation. You know, the same way, you know, Obongo's tearing up our nation now. It was like practice over there, getting ready. One of our instructors fought there. And, you know, unfortunately he fought on the wrong side, so he did it reluctantly, but he followed his nation in because it was a UN thing. And the stories he tells are invaluable for us to learn how things are going to be done here when it happens here. I'm kind of hoping Mexico sets off long before we do, so we get a front row seat so we can learn from them, because then we'll get to see what's really going on. But I don't know what it is. I don't know why Mexico hasn't garnered the ire of the UN to go in there like they do everywhere else. So it's an individual choice to me to risk. I make these risks knowing the costs, but my goal is not anything grand. I don't want to be in charge of anything. I don't want to rally people around this whoever Dutch Jones is. I just want people to get thinking and acting in their own community. It's the closest thing to a grassroots, you know, Republican ideal set. I don't mean Republican. The political party, I mean the Republican way of government that our founders wanted. I want nothing from this. I want to be able to keep doing it. If I wanted to make money at going on the radio, I'd be telling you everything you want to hear. I'd go work at a local area station and just do whatever, you know, they wanted me to do. I could do that. I could read whatever you put in front of me, but I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. And sometimes being part of the solution means small audiences with a lot of sacrifice on my part to get the message out. That's why, you know, I remind you guys to donate so we can keep doing this. That's why I'm going to be working this week to put up antennas and maybe get the shortwave thing set up. That would be cool. Do an hour on shortwave, you know, pirate shortwave. You guys, you know, I got to do a lot of exploration. Yeah, I've already got my outfit picked out. I got an inflatable parrot. I'm gonna get the hat, you know, and arr. You know,
and the long black
yeah, I'll get the eye patch, long black wig. I'm going to be Ivar Bluetooth. That's going to be my pirate name when I switch over there. And it's, you know, I digress. It's a Monday. I'm tired, actually. I don't know why. Just found out today there's not going to be any more work. But that's okay. I got things I got to do here. So, you know, there goes one income stream gone. There's just, you know, but that's okay. Yeah, it's personal conflicts and things, you know, some people make decisions and you just move on and live with them and just let them go off and be bitter. That's just the way it goes. I'm not going to cry about it. Hopefully, praise the Lord, pass the ammunition and the creek don't rise. We'll survive. And I'll keep doing the show every day. I've been thinking about going back to just 1 hour, just doing the 1 hour on Liberty Tree Radio because of the bandwidth costs. We're really pushing it close on this satellite thing. We can't do a whole lot because I wish I could do 24 hours a day. Not me, of course. That would drive you guys nuts. But I would throw up a bunch of sermons, find other radio shows that give me permission to rebroadcast them and, you know, and just do that. You know, run training videos, you know. Is Lou the cabin boy? Yeah, if we go pirate, Lou will be the cabin boy. That's funny. Yeah, we'll have a weekly walk the plank show, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's good that maybe it's a good thing that I'm not going to be doing this work 3 to 5 hours a day because I can spend more time reading articles and putting together shows. We got this training coming up on Saturday. I've already got some pre-canned stuff, and I want to make it interesting for everybody. Remember, that's 12 o'clock in the playground. 12 o'clock, Saturday the 17th? 19th.
Bring your ID.
Bring your ID. No, you don't need your ID. Bring your deployment bag, bring your bug out bag, whatever you want to call it. Bring all your gear. We're going to have a big show and tell. We're going to go over what is recommended by some of the better people in the militia movement, some of the things that you should have, and all of the things that, you know, we can share and what you have. And then maybe we can talk about things as a group we need to get. We can combine our resources. We'll play with the radios a little bit. I'll start showing you some of the ins and outs of your FRS radio, different ways you can use your privacy tones, those kind of things.
And it's real laid back. I don't want pressurized. I don't want, you know, everybody thinking they have to impress anybody. It's going to be a great time to ask questions and that kind of thing. And then we'll probably get up here on our front porch and have a weenie roast that night or something. And, you know, just have a good time and maybe run the obstacle course for those that are willing. You know, we'll take a look at that. If you guys want to do some shooting, we can do that. And we'll do whatever we can. You stream, I stream, we all stream. We do have a Ustream up, and we've tested it, and it works great. We may be switching over to Ustream, Ed. So I'm thinking about I'm going to wait till the money runs out on Ubroadcast, and then I may switch and embed it, and then I'll have to change the links and everything. But if I embed the player, it's a little different. Ustream is kind of a different beast, isn't it, Ed? It's got more bells and whistles. I like the control interface better. It makes it easier for me to play videos that I have on my computer. If I want to share a video with you, I don't have to convert it to an FLAV or whatever it is, a FLAV, and then send it up. Huh?
To broadcast a video, you never had to do that. Upload it directly. Here.
How do I broadcast a video then on this? See, you never showed me how to do that. I've always wanted to do it. No, you haven't.
We've done it before.
No, we have? I didn't know that. And you can, it's telling me all this stuff. Yeah, you can embed all that kind of stuff. So we're going to look at what their fees are. I need to know what their fees are, Ed. Because I like to make it so that I can, you know, the listeners, I don't want just 20 listeners. Sometimes we'll have 50 to 60 listeners per show, so I need to do that. Right now I'm paying for 500, even though I never hit that. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what they charge. It's kind of weird. It's hard to get around and navigate the sites. But we will definitely continue to explore the Ustream. I like it. Or the Ustream? Ustream. And it's just another avenue. And we're going to see when we move to a different location if we can get some stuff. I was talking to someone today who lives farther down the street if I could rent his garage and have internet in there. But it turns out he's having trouble paying his rent, so he may not be there very long. Here we go. Let's see here. Hello, who do we have?
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Just calling in. I actually wanted to talk to you, but you're really weak over the phone right now.
How's that?
That's better. talking about the Ustream thing, you were talking about you're playing videos off your computer. I haven't figured out how to do that yet with Ustream. You've had more time to play with it than I have.
Oh, okay, yeah. yeah, we just did like a four-hour test broadcast.
Uh-huh.
And,
Ustream is a freebie service, which is nice. I was mistaken when I told you it could handle 20 listeners. We've actually peaked out at 55, and I think it can go higher.
Oh, okay.
I'm not paying for that, and I keep watching the listeners. More people tell people about it, and the Facebook people, because every time I post up, I've got it set up to automatically update my Facebook page when I change program, enter in a new program name, and
sure.
There we go. It updates everybody and tells them what's on, and I like that. You know,
okay.
That's good.
That is good. Well, we got about 20 seconds left by my clock. Thank you for that information. I'll probably give you a call and when I start playing with it some more and see how we can do, because we had no crashes. Although we haven't had any crashes since we added the new computer either.
So. Okay, cool.
Okay, well, we'll be
I just wanted to call in and clarify that with you, because it is higher than that, and I'm not sure how high the cap is. So.
Well, we've got it set up. Maybe we'll switch to it during the week.
All right.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. God bless you, too. We'll be back tomorrow. We just got dumped off of Liberty Tree Radio, I think, there, but we can still go here. Remember to go to dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk. There is a chip in there to help. We do need your financial support. I am contributing as much as I can to this. Still got to take care of my family. If you enjoy the program, a spider crawled on my face. If you can donate a few pennies here or there, that's fine. You know, not really pennies. I think you have to do dollars, but euros, whatever you want. We'll stay on the air because we have to pay to be on Liberty Tree Radio. We have to pay to stay on Ubroadcast, and we have to pay our $85 a month for the internet satellite fee. And basically, all we use it for is this. So we will do what we can. yes, thank you, Ed. I know we're done. We'll keep going on here, though. So tune in tomorrow. We will not be on Liberty Tree Radio tomorrow, but we will be on here for 2 hours. And the only call in we had today was Ed. All that trouble I took to run that phone over here, we get one call. really sad. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Proudly march behind our banner, proudly march behind our men. We will have them free to help us build a nation once again. On the people, stand together, proudly march on your way. Never fear or never falter, till the boys come home to stay.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the wire.